98.7 FM and 1450 AM. WDLB, Marshfield.
Good morning. This is Pastor Gary Markworth of St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 8313 2nd Street in Pittsville, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining our broadcast of today's service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Pittsville on WDLB 1450 AM and 98.7 FM. We invite you to our weekly services on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. May God bless and keep you now and always.
And good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Haven't heard any snowmobiles yet. One of the neighbors got two of them parked outside. They're really hopeful, I think. So, but heard snowblowers, but I was one of them this morning. So I'm glad you braved the elements this morning. We give thanks to our radio broadcast this morning, our sponsor, the Reisner Estate, a gift that they gave to us many years ago, and every year they have. We have at least one sponsorship date by them. We thank them for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ on the WDLB AM and FM and the World Wide Web. For our service, Divine Service Setting 3, as you see on the board, there's a PR for the middle hymn that's printed in your bulletin. It's the same melody as hymns 408 and 410 in LSB, but it's TLH 304, the words, the Savior County Calls. That was always the hymn that we sang when we brought a child up to be baptized. I really wish it wasn't LSB, but now I know how to do this in the bulletin, so we can take the hymn from there once in a while. So, begin with our first hymn, hymn 590, Baptized into Your Name, Most Holy. Stand as you're able. Moving begin this service just as we began our entrance into the kingdom redeemed in the water and word of holy baptism. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. For those who believe in his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
And we continue with the introit this morning, a portion of Psalm 2. Behold my servant whom I uphold. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord says to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage.
And the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron.
And dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. For his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold my servant whom I uphold.
My chosen in whom my soul delights.
Thank you. baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated as we sing hymn 735, Have No Fear, Little Flock.
Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Continue your responsive reading of Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord and ascribe to the glory.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. May the Lord give strength to his people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
I invite
you to stand as you're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This time I invite the children to come forward. Good morning. What do you do? Do you have to do anything special if you're going to go on a trip? Do you have to pack, like, clothes? Hopefully your toothbrush, right? I suppose you girls got to have all kinds of hair products. I don't have to worry about too much about that. What about for preparing for a football, soccer, or basketball game? What do you got to do? If Make sure you got your uniform, right? Hopefully clean socks. And you kind of got to get mentally prepared as well. Well, in our gospel reading for today, the people have been waiting a long time for the promised Messiah. Many people thought that John the Baptist was the promised one. He said, no, one to come in who is greater than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie. Because he knew, that's why John was born, to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. John did baptize Jesus in the River Jordan. And when he came up out of the water and was praying, the Holy Spirit came down in bodily form like that of a dove. That's why you'll see dove on banners and pyramids representing the Holy Spirit. Like a dove. We don't know for sure what bird, but dove is a nice peaceful bird, so we think that's why it is. And then came a voice from heaven, the voice of God, the Father himself. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Last week we had about the Magi coming to see, find the king who had been born, the king of the child born king of the Jews. He now advanced 28 years almost or more to his baptism by John in the River Jordan. That revelation to the Magi was a revelation, I recall our Christmas to the Gentiles. But now, the true power of Jesus had begun with his baptism. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He could now go out to teach, to preach, to heal. And eventually that would all lead him to Calvary's cross where he died for us. He took our sins that had been washed in the water of baptism and our sins when we repent with him to Calvary's cross. He died, but he rose again. We've been baptized, you've been baptized into his death and resurrection, so that where he is, you may also be when he comes again in glory. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. In our baptism, we have been united with his death and his resurrection. Keep us steadfast in the true faith. Help us to share that faith with others so that we too and they may be with Jesus in heaven forever. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Dismissed. And we will continue with the printed hymn, The Savior Kindly Calls, in your bulletin. Years from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the abiding presence of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, washed in the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Every year I get amazed at how quickly the church year develops. 19 days ago, we celebrated Christ's birth, Christmas. The following Sunday, we had his presentation in the temple where Simeon and Anna were promised. Anna the prophetess. Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit of God that he would not die until he saw the Lord's salvation. He held him in his arms. We get the song of the Nunc Dimittis, the song of Simeon. And he also had words for Mary and Joseph, that a sword will pierce your own heart as well. Last week we had the Epiphany, the celebration of Epiphany, the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. And they go to the child's home, find him in the home, present him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now this week, our Lord is about 30 years old. He is being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Well, for today, there's a 5th century BC mathematician and philosopher named Zeno of Elea, who was known for his paradoxical thoughts experiments. Those experiments questioned humans' assumptions of physical reality. One such experiment, I'm going to be paraphrasing, Zeno proposes that we imagine the common experience is simply walking across a typical street. Further, imagine that after doing so, after your first step, you're required to limit each succeeding step to one half that distance. So, example, if the first step is 2 feet, you're down to 1 foot. Your third step, 6 inches. Fourth is 3 inches. Fifth, inch and a half. 3/4 on the sixth, and so on and so on. Paradox occurs when we realize that the distance of our previous steps can be halved indefinitely, infinitely, in ever minuscule amounts. In other words, he's observing that we can possibly have a constant forward motion without ever really getting to where you want to be. The paradox is always moving forward, but never getting anywhere. Have you felt that way in your life? Maybe even as you think ahead to eternity? Do you ever wonder if you'll get where you want to be, where you need to be, where you desire to go, where God desires you to go? Wouldn't you like to know that there is a solution to the paradox of progress, rather than the destination eluding us for all eternity? My gospel text for today, beginning in Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Our eyes are directed to those crowds on the banks of the River Jordan, described as people in expectation, a people waiting for something to happen. These expectant Israelites would likely appreciate the frustration found in Zeno's experiment, as they too were people who, for generation upon generation upon generation, had moved a lot, both figuratively and literally, but never seemed to get where they truly desired to be, where they might have been promised to be. Those crowds on Jordan's bank, whose people in expectation, were also people in a predicament. They felt held back by the oppression of Caesar and the Roman Empire. They felt held back by the abuses of their own local government, little Herod the Tetrarch, after Herod the Great. The local kings, instead of being beneficial advocates, were murderous tyrants. They used their subjects to further their own selfish interests. And if Roman rule and its puppets weren't bad enough, this man, John the Baptist, has told these weary people that their own national heritage, their earthly descendancy from the mighty seed of Abraham, would also get them nowhere. For those people, heaven certainly appeared to be closed that day. This was a frustrating predicament that had existed for thousands of years. It began with the very first humans, Adam and Eve, who trusted that human knowledge, rather than trust in their Creator, would get them where they wanted to be. They quickly learned that having one's eyes open, apart from God, was not the epiphany they had expected, but in all reality, quite deadly. From the dependence on human knowledge came the belief that we could move forward if we just had enough rules and regulations. That'll help us get there. Many got plenty of both, but quickly realized they could not follow them. even those 10 seemingly simple commandments God himself carved in stone and gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. Then later it was thought that maybe having a strong human leader, a wise, beneficent king, would certainly get people where they wanted to be. But again, nothing but failure. It's truly a distressing and depressing predicament. Knowledge had failed them. Rules had failed them. Government had failed them. These people had a history of movement and change that had gotten them nothing except captivity. The destination of heaven truly did seem closed. Particularly not just theirs, but one shared by every member of the entire human race. Even in our own troubled days, we identify with that predicament and weary frustration of the Israelite people on the shores of the Jordan River. We've seen firsthand the failure of human knowledge, human rules, human government, all that bring us failure, not even enabling us to find the destination we seek. We too are people in a predicament, endlessly moving, but never getting to where we want to go. This predicament has existed since the time of the fall. But the deeper and ongoing problem is our powerless to do anything about it. But the deeper and ongoing problem is our powerless to do anything, period. Worse yet, we stubbornly refuse to admit that we have a problem, to realize that we are powerless to reach the destination ourselves. After all, we've been moving forward, right? We've been making progress. Maybe just a little more and we'll be there, right? Well, in verse 15 of our text, the crowd turns their eyes to John the Baptizer, thinking that this amazing man might be their solution, a sinful human being though he was. John, in verse 16, however, quickly dispels their notion by recognizing his own powerlessness, his unworthiness, even to stoop down and untie the simple strap of the sandals of that promised one of God, the real Savior. Therein lies the problem that keeps us in our own predicament, our failure to accept our powerlessness. In Zeno's thoughts experiments, we find endless motion without a destination because we're trying to cross a finite distance to the other side of the street with the infinite divisibility of the steps. Probably reminds us of the expected Israelites on the banks of the Jordan, the fallen humanity throughout the ages. Except that here the finite has no means of assessing, achieving, or even comprehending infinite, that instead of dividing, making the distance shorter, somehow multiplies the distance because we are to keep those Ten Commandments and increase the distance between us and the destination of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, a broken, sinful human being is powerless to create anything from within himself that is not already there. That's our problem. In other words, the dinner that you make is limited by the ingredients that you're going to use, or sometimes the ingredients that you have. We expect a greater than human solution from the ingredients of human knowledge, human rules, and human politics, human ability, will ever and always be disappointed. Yes, we'll always be moving, but never getting anywhere. But do not despair. Everything changes for us and for those Israelites on the banks of the Jordan, verse 21 of our text. When Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. The destination was now in sight. Everything that broke humanity has long for since the expulsion from Eden has now been made accessible. And for the first time since the fall, and for all time evermore, the destination is reachable. That Son of God, both fully human and fully divine, in future time and timelessly, crucified and risen from the dead, entered those waters on the river Jordan to be baptized. In this God-man, the infinite and the infinite are miraculous, the finite and the infinite are miraculously and most incomprehensibly made into one. And a voice came down from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Jesus Christ was now revealed by the Father's own voice to be the only perfect, infinite human worthy of the perfect, infinite destination. Why? Because he is the creator of that destination. Heaven is open to Christ because it belongs to him. Jesus' baptism provides the same progress for us. It does so because the Son of God is the living and eternal Word in a miraculous way, remains in the water of baptism, enters that water for all time so that he might meet each of us in our baptism. And in the water of our baptism, our failed humanity is killed with Christ Jesus upon the cross. And in that very same baptismal water, Christ provides us the life-giving Holy Spirit, who creates the faith which receives infinite life. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The water of our baptism, God the Father, the infinite Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has, from outside our reality, reached in and most miraculously joined us to himself. This is confirmed from St. Paul's letter to the Church of Galatia. For as many of you baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. And as St. Paul says, rejoice. I say again, rejoice. You have received what you could not do for yourself. For in your baptism, the power of God's Son, his word, has brought the adoration, the destination down to you, to me, to all, granting us the assurance of heaven, even as we admit our own powerlessness. That idea of powerlessness reminded me of one of my earliest memories as a toddler. Barely able to walk. My mother said I squealed more than I laughed. I'd ride my father's foot as a little child, plus you grab around his leg as well, and you walk around. Enjoyed that. I could do anything because I was attached to Dad. He'd walk around the house. I was with him. I could walk, could do what he did because I became a part of him. Of course, he actually pried me off his tired leg and foot and put me on the couch. But for a brief time, I could go anywhere. I could do anything despite my own limitations. But an even greater confidence is found in your baptism. Jesus' baptism and your baptism is the provider of true progress. Yes, we confess that we are powerless to solve the problems that lead to our predicament. But in that water and word of our baptism, we, the powerless, have been joined to our crucified and risen Creator, not just for a brief time, for a moment, but forever. Contrary to all our earthly appearances and despite our endless failures, we rejoice in this tangible assurance that our predicament has now ended. Our problem has been solved. The means to arrive at our heavenly destination, long hoped for, have been provided by Christ Jesus. What a most blessed and amazing grace we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. He grants us the progress to our eternal heavenly home, something we could never do on our own, because we indeed are powerless. But remember, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Thanks be to God, now and forever, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds alive in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I want you to stand as you're able to receive the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let us pray to the Lord. The Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the baptized people of God, that strengthened by His Holy Spirit, we would walk as the new and holy people He has declared us to be in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Redeemer, and King. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all church workers, especially Matthew, our Synod President, Duane, our District President, and for all pastors, that the Lord would prosper the good work of preaching the gospel and administering the life-giving sacraments. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the family, especially all Christian homes, for husbands and wives, that God would turn them toward one another in love. For fathers and mothers, that God would equip them for their holy duty as teachers of the faith. And for all children, that God would preserve them in the saving faith and the certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray for the rulers of the nations. They would submit to the preaching of God's word and acknowledge Jesus as Christ and the true King. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who find themselves in times of weakness, illness, despair, and death, especially those hospitalized during this past week, those in rehab facilities, including Diane, Kevin Marchand, and Reverend Doug Shallow. Those recovering illness, injuries, and surgeries, including Dave Bender, Ed, Eugene Regan, Mark Butler, and Kendra Marker. Those who are confronting cancer, including Donna Daschle, Diane Dennison, Stephanie Dyson, Shirley Dodd, Gordy L. Sasser, Nicole Gesser, Ella Mink, Jerry Peterson, Susie Peterson, Dixie Plowman, Lori Powers, Chrissy Crawley, James Schiller, Rob Schooley, Penny Stainbrook, Tammy Straub, and Dan Wilson. Suffering from chronic pain and affliction, including Reverend Martin Bauer, Alexis Bessler, Pamela Caldwell, Linda Colavino, Jennifer Flugel, Bill Frost, Diana Griswold, Al Gorich, Susan Jorgensen, Reverend Martin Keller, Donna Christine Kapelke, Eliana Crew, Bob Schneeberg, and Samuel Schooley. And for those confined to their homes or care facilities, including Mary Ignatowski, Linda Jensen, Mark Jensen, Shirley Kohler, Elsie Cup, Grace Lyba, Bob Mackey, Nancy Worthen, and Margaret Trickle. That God would grant healing and relief according to His good and gracious will, that He would give us every aid of His Holy Spirit to endure afflictions, to find comfort in the healing wounds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, we ask that You be with the people of Southern California who have lost property and homes and loved ones. Be with those emergency and relief workers as they continue to do the much-needed efforts. Comfort them all with Your presence, with Your love, Your promise, and hope that You are always with them, now and evermore. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O God of all grace and mercy, we ask Your spirit of comfort to be with the family and friends, Joel Nalbach, Reverend Dr. Paul Hunsinger, Sandra Weinfurter, Bill Peters, and Phil Cruz. Grant them comfort, hope, peace, and strength as they mourn the loss of their loved ones, and guide their focus on Christ's empty cross and His empty tomb, where He won forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who are celebrating God's gift of life with birthdays this week, including Karen Jace, Josh Solomon, Kendra Markford, Theo Florence, Derek Weinford, Katie Gordon, Jerome Kahn, Jacob Grimm, Kyle Freeman and Shelley Gray. and also with Mike and Amy Bartlett as they celebrate another marriage anniversary in God's covenant on the 15th. May they and all God's redeemed grow in faith, of trust, and service to you and to one another. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you manifested yourself with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of grace at the baptism of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. With your voice, you directed us to the one who has borne our sins, that we may receive grace and forgiveness. Keep us, we implore you, O God, in this one true faith. Since we have been baptized in accordance with your command and the example of your Son, strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit, and lead us to everlasting life and eternal salvation. This we ask from the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We again approach God in prayer. Most merciful God and Father, through holy baptism you called us to be your own possession. Grant that our lives may evidence the working of your Holy Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, according to the image of your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord be with you. Bless me the Lord. Thanks be to God. See the promised blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Time to go forth with God's grace, mercy, and peace as you love, trust, and serve your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We will, with the help of God. Hallelujah.
And we close with hymn 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized. Thank you for worshiping us. announcements that is inserted in your bulletin about radio sponsorship dates, and three of those have been taken: April 13th, September 28th, and June 22nd. But please let me know if you're so inclined to sponsor any of those dates. Text me is probably the best, or email either way, I guess. So looks like we get that schedule completed. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, men's Bible study. This Wednesday, confirmation, and at 6 o'clock is council meeting. Important business there, and then, which means next Sunday after service is the voters meeting to go through what we have come up with in council. And on the 20th is men's Bible study. So there's also a list of supplies. Jim's hiding it back there on the bulletin board right now. Carmen got a list of supplies for a church in North Carolina where the people are still struggling after the massive flooding, needing lots of things. New or used, a lot of power cords and things like that. I haven't looked at the whole list myself. It's back there in the number to the person calling it, Scott Adrian. It's his number. They have taken one truckload down, and they're hoping to take another pickup truck and U-Haul trailer down next week, the 18th, I guess. So if you are so inclined, take a look at the list back there and see what, if you want to clean out your closet or whatever, or somebody in your garage, they'll take whatever is on that list there. So you can make a copy of it on the phone or whatever. So as the Lord moves you to do so, be careful on the roads and enjoy whatever weather we get.
Thank you. decades of timeless favorites. 98.7 FM and 1450 AM. WDLB Marshfield.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Firefighters in Southern California say they've made significant progress on the Eaton Fire. That's one of the devastating fires in the region where at least 16 people have died. That fire is now 27% contained, but ABC's Matt Rivers says the danger to Los Angeles is far from over.
While things are relatively calm for the moment, we know that that might not last. These red flag warnings in place until at least Wednesday of this week. The winds expected to pick back up, and when that happens, the threat of fire, of course, also rises.
Governor Gavin Newsom's ordered an investigation into reported water supply problems when the fire broke out. President-elect Donald Trump will be sworn in 8 days. He's warned Hamas to release all hostages by the time he's sworn in. Israeli sources are expressing optimism about ongoing talks in Doha. Officials close to the matter tell ABC News a high-level Israeli delegation is taking part in talks. This is ABC News.
Struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? Owe the IRS $10,000 or more? With the IRS ramping up enforcement, taxpayers across the country are turning to tax relief helpers. Call 800-885-0622 now. End IRS stress today. Stop collection efforts, wage garnishments, and sleepless nights. Tax relief helpers can help you or your business settle your tax debt quickly and affordably. Call the Tax Relief Helpers hotline at 800-885-0622. That's 800-885-0622. Start your relief today.
Offer not valid in all states where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Bills piling up? Rent due? Just need some extra cash to get by? Then you need to go to GetCash.com, where you can get approved for a loan of up to $10,000 in minutes. No need to search through endless loan sites. GetCash.com is one of the largest lender networks. They can help anyone get up to $10,000 regardless of their credit score. Best part? The money can be in your bank account as soon as the next day. When you need fast cash help, go to GetCash.com. That's GetCash.com.
WDL. Be a lifetime of favorites.
From the time I fall asleep till the morning comes, I dream about you, baby. And I feel all right, cause I know tonight I'll be with you. Everything I need, and nobody can please like me.